Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I'm coming to say good morning, good morning, good morning. What a beautiful morning. Another day to be in the land of the living. Another day that we have the opportunity to praise the Lord, to just rejoice in the Lord. And so I come rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing that I have the opportunity to come and be with you once again on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. This morning, as always, I have a topic that I think will be exciting to you because I've been blessed from preparing it, all right? And so my topic for today is cost of discipleship. Yes, C-O-S-T of discipleship. And I'm going to be coming today from Luke. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, all right? Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. And I'm going to have a supporting scripture of Matthew 10, verses 37 through 38. All right? So once again, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you for coming on to be with me, how much I appreciate you for giving me feedback concerning the broadcast. I want to appreciate you, those of you that are texting me, that are emailing me, that are talking to me in the marketplace. I just want to tell you, I remind you that the reason I come here on Mondays is to what? Encourage, educate, enlighten, empower, and inspire by connecting biblical principles to everyday life experiences. Hey, you might not get all of those things out of the broadcast, but it is what I intend and what my purpose and my prayer is to somehow leave one of those aspects, maybe two, maybe all of them, on and with you each week as I come. That's the reason for Dr. Annie B. Wilder's show. Right, let me say it again. It's intended to encourage, educate, enlighten, empower, and inspire by connecting biblical principles to everyday life experiences. And that being said, we're going to get started today. And so what is it that we do first and foremost? You're right. We pray. Yes, yes, we pray. So let's bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you first and foremost, God, for just having that authority to come, to be able to come to you with that name, that name, that name, that powerful name, the name of Jesus that opened doors for us, the name of Jesus that give us be able to legally come into your presence. Oh, we thank you for that authority. So indeed, we do come in the name of Jesus, first thanking you because you've been an awesome God, thanking you for how you've been so mindful of us, thanking you for your protection and making ways where it seemed to be no way. Thank you for deliverances and healings that are continually taking place in our lives. Thank you for being that way maker, the problem solver of every listener today, whether they're nationally or internationally, whether they're listening today or going to listen later. Either way, God, and some going to listen time and time again. I've heard them say that he's gone back and listened again, which is what I recommend. So, Lord God, I thank you for every one of them. And as always, God, I lift them up before you, that you work on their behalf today, that even while the broadcast is going forth, that you open their eyes, open their ears, open their minds. Lord God, whatever their needs are, that you'll supply them. And we just thank you now for making ways. Oh God, opening doors for that one that's looking for employment, healing the body of that one that's feeling poorly today, reminding that one that's feeling weak to say they're strong. Oh God, because they're not relying on themselves, but they're trusting you in your power, God, in your strength. And so, Lord God, all these things, as I continue to pray for the runaways to come home, oh God, and that you move to bind those families together, Lord. Heal in those homes. Heal that husband. Heal that wife so that the two of them can make that home a happy home for their children. Lord God, I continue to lift them all up in our nation. Oh, I can't close without praying for our nation. We need you, Lord. We need you. And, oh, God, by way of me confessing that and admitting that, I'm humbling myself under your mighty hands, knowing that, God, without you, hey, nothing is going to ever work out. And, indeed, even in our own lives, that everything we try to do without you, Lord God, oh, my God, your word tells us to acknowledge you in all our ways, and you'll direct our paths. And when we look back and look at things that have really fallen apart, we have to ask ourselves, did we pray first? Did we pray? So, Lord God, today, we just thank you now for intervening in all these situations, for the hunger, for hungry, those that are cast down, the homeless. Lord, move on your people to do what you told them to do. You said, Lord God, that we are to pay attention to the widows and do for the homeless and clothe the naked and feed those that are hungry. That's your command. That's the command. And so, God, we thank you today in Jesus' name as I get ready to go into this broadcast that you would anoint these lips of clay. Anoint me, God. Give your Holy Spirit charge to deliver this message today so that the listeners will truly, truly, truly be blessed. In Jesus' name, I pray and I say thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Woo! Glory to God. All right. As I said, my text is coming from Luke 14, and I trust by now you've managed to find it. Okay, find your Bibles and find that place, but however you're going to look it up. But you have it, or you have pencil and paper, and you're making a note one way or another that you're with me, all right? Because what do I teach? Go back and read for yourself, all right? Go back and read for yourself. And as I go along, I'll mention a lot of other scriptures that you have to, that I ask you to make a note of and go and search them out later. So that's why you need and listen to the broadcast again so you can get the references, all right? Those of you that have been with me, you know the routine. Yes, you know. So let's get started. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25, and I'll read through 33. And it says, from the New King James Version of the Bible, it says, now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, give me a minute, please. I forgot to turn my answer machine off. Oh, my Lord. All right. So he turned and said to them, if anyone comes and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, he says, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Praise the Lord. All right, we know the word of God is blessed all by itself. We don't have to invite a blessing. It is blessed, all right? So as we get started today with our text, first of all, I know if you were listening to me and you read it and the first thing you heard was hate, oh, hate, Oh, my God, it's already probably causing you to say, wait a minute now, is she reading from the Bible? Yes. And I want to assure you I'm reading from the Bible. And not only am I reading from the Bible, but I'm reading red print in the Bible, which tells us, hey, this is Jesus teaching. This is Jesus talking. And yes, he used the word hate. Oh, my God. Well, we all know that hate is a wrong word. And in fact, when I tell you that I am reading and it's Jesus' words, then it sounds contradictory to the character of God. That's why you're pondering and probably scratching your head. And maybe this is making you run and pick up your Bible to make sure Dr. Walter is reading from the Bible. Because his word is so strong, and hate makes us think, hey, how can God be talking about that? How can Jesus be talking about hate when he is love? Hey, that's what we've learned, that he is love, but now he's saying hate? Oh. Therefore, it makes us, because it is such a strong word, and because it sounds contradictory to the character of God, as we know, all right, it makes us question if there is more to the text than what is stated. And that is good. That's a good thing that you've learned to question. You've learned not to just pick up with it and run. You've learned to do what is called study, all right? And we get that command from 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show yourself approved, to approve a workman that needs not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of God. And let me pull you in, because right away you said, well, that was the command for Timothy to get ready so that he can do in ministry. Well, I want you to know that all of us, as children of God, we're in ministry. Yes, we are. You may not be standing behind a pulpit, or you may not be out there called an evangelist, all right, but we are all in ministry. Our very lives are to speak Christ if we are a believer, all right? So we want to study the word of God. We want to make sure that we are understanding and can explain what it is. The Bible tells us in one place, just be ready to give an answer for your belief. Just be ready to give an answer, not an argument, an answer, okay? So regarding hard sins such as the one we just read, yes, they're confusing. And if taken literally, we will go astray. Yes, if you just take that literally, like some people would like to, and some people hearing me read it without listening to any further, they're saying, oh, there it is. I am right, and I'm okay to hate my mom and hate my dad and hate my sisters and hate my brother. Hey, I just got license to do that. Well, I want to pull you back and say, come back and listen to the rest of the broadcast, because this is not a text that you take literally. It's not a text that you read it and you run with it, all right? Sit down and study. You got to sit down and study this out, all right? And what else goes along with it? Why would you study? Because in Isaiah 28:10, it says, precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. In other words, we must study. Search the scriptures. One scripture will explain another scripture. So we got to take the time to study the word through and not just run with it literally when we first read it, all right? Come on, stay with me. There was a group of individuals that Paul encountered, Paul the Apostle, encountered down in the book of Acts, all right? And that's Acts 17:11. Those of you that are taking me up on my word to go back and study it, they were called the Bereans. Indeed, they became believers because Paul preached to them. They believed the message that Paul preached, and they became believers. But the scripture goes on to say daily to see if the things that Paul was preaching to them were so. They wanted not just take Paul's word for it. They were searching the scriptures for themselves, all right? Oh, my God, that blesses me right there. Is that blessing you? I hope it is. Yes. So, hey, just like the Bible is written for our example, for our encouragement, for inspiration, hey, if there were people then who were face-to-face with this Paul, all right, who taught so many and won so many to Christ, hey, if they did it after being in his presence, why wouldn't we do it as we pick up the word of God that has been left for us, all right? Why wouldn't we pick up the Bible and search it through and through? Hey, so guess what? As we look at our, so for us, we need to search, we need to look at it. Look at it closer, okay? Look at the text, all right? So first of all, it talks about being a disciple. And so a disciple is one that follows the teachings of another, you know, begin to follow that person or persons and their teachings. And we know throughout the Bible, throughout the gospel, all right, we see, hey, there were disciples. Jesus talked about it several times on the scripture referred to, and the disciples of Jesus. And you know what? They don't have to be just Jesus' disciples, because it says the definition is disciples, the follower of certain teachings. So when we read the Bible, we read back over there in the gospels, we find that, hey, John the Baptist had disciples. In other words, people that followed his teachings, all right? All these various types and various ones had disciples. But we'll talk about Jesus, if that's who we are, yes, or that's who hopefully we are as believers and have sold out to the Lord, that we become a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's why we're looking in the Bible. And that's why we're studying scripture, all right? Because we want to know his teachings, get to understand them, get to understand what he promised us, get to understand what he told us to stay away from, get to understand it. Oh, just get to understand Jesus, all right? So when we come on and we break down our scripture, start looking at it closer. First of all, that word hate, doesn't it just send chills through you? Yes, hate. Why? Because first of all, it's opposite of love. Yeah, it is the opposite of love. And I find that over in Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 22 through says, love is the first attribute listed in the fruit of the Spirit. The first one. Why just the first one? Because there are nine listed there. But look what comes first. Love. What did I say? Hate is opposite of love. And what about the fruit of the Spirit? Why do we use that as a gauge? Because fruit of the Spirit is a biblical term used to summarize the characteristics of Jesus that should be displayed in the life of a believer, in us, in our lives. And will let us know that, hey, the Holy Spirit is operating in us. When these characteristics show up, these characteristics that are termed fruit of the Spirit. Notice I say fruit of the Spirit, and I say attributes or characteristics summed up in this title, because some people like to say fruits of the Spirit, but it's not fruits, not with an S, it's fruit. It's one, but it has all these characteristics that make it up. Yes, love, joy, peace, so on. You go and read it. I gave you the reference. You got to read it. You got to read it. But my point here is love begins it. And if these are commands from God, then it's also letting us know that, hey, this is the reason we better look at this scripture closer when it says hate mother and father. We got to look at it closer. It's got to mean more than just literally hating them, all right? So, yeah, no, can't mean that. Why? Because Ephesians 6 follows it up. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, goes on to tell us right there to honor father and mother. Honor. Hey. Honor, be involved in that. There's no hate in that. No, it says honor father and mother. In fact, it is the first commandment now with a promise. Yes, the first commandment with a promise. And that is that things will go well with us and that we will have long life. I love that scripture. I love it. And, you know, until yesterday, I don't think I had focused on that latter part of that verse. I love Psalms 91 that tells us that God will satisfy us, those that have, you know, put our name, called, have given ourselves to him, right, and everything. And so it tells us that he will satisfy us with salvation and long life. And I tell you, I cling to that scripture. I cling to it. What do you mean, Dr. Wilder, that you cling to it? I speak it. I declare it. I speak it over my life. Thank you, God, for satisfying me with salvation and long life. And then, you know what? I'd like to add to that long life. I want long life in my expansion of time. I want to be active. I want to be productive. I want to be strong. I want to be on fire for the Lord. So, Lord God, I receive long life, and I receive the fact that I'm going to continue to do your work. I'm still going to be able to be up and moving, active, and all of that. But then yesterday, as I was reading this scripture again, I said, oh, my God, there's that promise right there. Oh, not only would things go well for us when we honor mom and dad, but we will have long life. Oh, long life. I tell you, it excited me so. It excited me beyond the measure of what I'm probably able to share with you today over the radio broadcast. All right? Maybe another time. But I want you to know it ignited a fire in me. Okay? So then when he goes on to say, hate brothers and sisters, yes, again, hate, again, that word hate. And we have to search the scriptures to see what? So we find in 1 John 4:24, verses 20 through 21, it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Oh, and then look, he says, and this commandment we have from him, meaning from the Lord, all right, that he who loves must love his brother also. All these verses I'm reading, all these references I'm giving is to say, hey, to show you how we can't just take that scripture, hate mom and dad, hate sister and brother, hate life. You can't take them on the surface. You got to search. You got to study. What did you mean, Lord? What did you mean when you were saying that? What did you really mean? So these are the references that I'm giving you that, yes, this was a hard saying. These were hard words that came out of Jesus' mouth. But we know, hey, God is love, and we know that Jesus' teaching was all about us being able to prosper. Yes, be strong, get delivered, get healed. Jesus was all about building us up and not tearing us down. So, hey, we got to look into the scripture. We got to look closer and see what else was going on. Now, my topic is what? Cost of discipleship. So when we look at cost in Luke 14, that verse 27, that it ends by saying, so therefore none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions. I know that was enough to make people leave. Some people, they made it through the hate. They made it through the talk about hate. Now, that didn't disturb them very much. But then we got down to that bottom, and it says, so therefore none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. That part got you, because you're probably like the rich young ruler. You probably have lots of possessions. You probably have a lot of valuable possessions, and you thought you were doing well. Hey, and now you read the scripture and you say, can't give up. I can't give away this. Give away my antique this. I can't I won't even go into trying to name things, because some of them I don't even know, because I don't have that experience. But anyway, no matter where we are in life, there are things that we hold on to, we cherish, and we don't want to give them up. Well, listen, let's follow through. Because remember, God wants to bless us. So why would he be completely against us having things? I think it goes like this. He's not opposed to us having things. It's just that when we allow things to have us, that we get in trouble. Ooh, somebody said, I didn't hear that one before. Let me say it again. The Lord is all about blessing us. He wants to, we're his children. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and we're his. So why would we come up short? We don't come up lacking, all right? So the saying is that, hey, God is not opposed to us. Again, one more time, Dr. Wilder, one more, all right? He is not opposed to us having things, because that would be contradictory to who he is and what he wants for us. He He's not opposed to us having things. He just does not want things to have us. In other words, that again, going right along with, hey, the whole purpose of the text, which we'll get to some going on. But as we're talking about giving up, and here we're talking about possession. Well, listen, there is one called Paul that I mentioned before in the book of Philippians, verse 3-8, all right, that he was one that came along later, that became a believer later in life. He was one that believed in God. Yes, he was zealous for God, meaning that he was so sold out believing God that he was putting his energy into going against anything that spoke anything else. So when the Christians came along and now they were declaring Jesus and becoming followers of Jesus, Paul felt like he had to persecute them. He had to stop this thing from spreading, all right? So one day he was on his way with the power, the papers, okay, to go and arrest some Christians, individuals that were proclaiming the word of God. And on his way there, he had an encounter with the Spirit of God. He had an encounter with Jesus, all right? Because Jesus, it was time now for him to turn his allegiance, to get real understanding of what he thought he was doing right, but he was doing so wrong. Oh, somebody needed to hear that today. Yes, the Lord is still doing that today. He's still helping us turn around to the awareness that what we were doing, and we were doing it with all our might, we were doing it thinking we were right. He's still about helping us to get insight and showing us when we've been going astray. Yes, and guess what? He's not going to keep condemning us and throwing it back on us, okay? So just like Paul here, the Lord met him on his way, to arrest Christians. And this was the beginning. His life turned around completely, all right? From there on, step by step, God began to lay things out to him, what he really wanted him to do. One of them was his main purpose for going forward from that point on. He was going to use all his skills. He was going to use all his training. He was going to use all that had already been put in him, but now it's going to be used for Christ. It's going to be used to proclaim the name of Jesus and, oh, my God, preach that which he was going to carry the message to the Gentiles, okay, meaning non-Jewish individuals, and to the Jews, which were his brethren, okay, because he was a Jew, all right, as well as the kings or men in high places, because his training and his talent and his knowledge of culture and all of that was good, had equipped him to do that, but he just had not been commissioned to do it before, not for Christ, all right, but that was his commission from there on. So as I said, hey, he was going wrong initially, but when God arrested his attention and then came back and days spelled out his assignment, God didn't keep going back and reminding him that he was doing wrong before. God didn't go back and keep pointing the finger out and say, see how wrong you were and see what mess you made of life before and how many people's lives you affected. No, God, he got forgiven of that. And from there on, the focus was to go forward, which is part of thing that came for me yesterday, that awareness again, the reminder that, hey, the Lord has forgiven us. Let's forgive ourselves. It's a hard thing. Yes, it gets to be hard, you know, because our minds keep taking us back in remembrance, remember when, remember what you did, remember what you didn't do. But the Lord doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to us. He says he forgives us, and then he casts that stuff way over as far as the east is from the west. In other words, he does not keep bringing it up again. And my word to you today, listeners, come on, sisters and brothers. Come on, my listeners. Life is too short. Life is too short to keep going back and rehashing all the junk, either that you have done or that somebody's done to you in the past. Come on, let's let Jesus heal us. Let's let the word of God come in and heal that void in our heart, to heal that hurt that's still lingering there, and move on. Let's not be cheated out of the glorious life that Jesus came to provide for us. Come on, let's not allow ourselves to be cheated. I said allow because the Lord has already given us everything that we need. Yeah, he's given it to us. We just have to receive it. Yes. So let go. Let go. Let go of the past. Let go of the hurts of the past. Let go of what somebody said to you about you and all of that. Hey, if it was a lie, got to take care of it. If it was truth, let's try to get straight. Ooh, whatever. I like that. All right? So that's the word for somebody. Somebody needed that word today. I'll repeat it. Come on. Forgive yourself and let go of stuff from the past. Let it go. Let it go. All right? And so where am I here? I'm talking about Paul himself, that Paul that I just described to you and told you about. He got to a point after telling the people, he says, I count all loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I already told you a little bit. He was a popular man. He had great reputation. Okay, he had power. He had prestige. He was well-learned. In other words, he was well-educated, educated by the best, okay? He had all of that, but he couldn't come to Jesus putting that in front of him as his card to introduce him. He's saying here, I had to put all of that aside. I had to consider it but lost as nothing. Yeah. Now, listen, the Lord will use whatever you have, but you got to first lay it aside to learn Christ. And in other words, basically, you just lift it up to the Lord. God, whatever's in me, and I say it, you know, whatever, good, bad, or indifferent that's in me that you can take and turn it around for your good, Lord, here it is. Use me for your glory. So the Bible backs me up with that. He says he can take that which was meant for bad and turn it around for good for those that love him and call according to his purpose. So whatever my previous experiences, my learning, my degrees, whatever, all right? But I can't. See, God can use them in his time in the way he wants to introduce them because he uses us and our characteristics, our temperament. He will use it for his glory, but he has to do it. Not us think that that's what's doing things, okay? Because he says nobody's going to get his honor and his glory. Nothing. He's not going to share it with anybody, all right? So therefore, we have to allow God to do what he wants to do in us and then pull those things over to help us maybe to go and do what we need to do. So Paul said that. Paul realized, hey, that's not a door invitation to me. That's not a calling card. None of those things that I've achieved before this time in my life. I got to just lay them aside and know that they're not important. Now they're not important. I just give it over to the Lord. Hey, but what's important is that I have this clarity and know that, hey, I want to be what the Lord wants me to be, and I want to learn his ways. I want to learn the ways of Christ. So that's what he's saying there, all right? He says, I suffered. I gave it away. I let it go, all right, that I may win Christ or that I may gain Christ. Depending on your Bible, all right? So, in other words, so then we move on. And then the point here is that Jesus talks at times about, hey, having to stop, having being stopped, starting out and not following through, okay? So we get on here that we find here that even that, what are you doing, Dr. Wilder? I'm showing you how when he talked about hate, he used his hard words that we could not take them literally. Okay, that's what I'm doing, and I'm doing it from Scripture to show you how it had to have a deeper meaning than literal hating of mom and dad, sisters and brothers, and even giving of ourselves and so forth. It had to have a greater meaning. So here, that's what I'm doing. You said, oh, well, okay, follow me because you know that's my teaching. I want to break it down, and I'm doing as it said to me initially, precept upon precept. Go and get in the Scripture to show you that if he said this here, he couldn't have meant that literally over there. Let me say it again. If he said that, hey, that hard word, that hard heart in reference to these individuals and these different places, the points that he named out, hey, it's got to have a deeper meaning. So how do I know that? So how do we know? Let's search the Scriptures. So we find here, again, when it says no turning back, or he talked about, again, having to be stopped in your track and not being able to finish out your course when you start these things in this text that he talks about, okay? The lesson from Peter and having a dialogue with Jesus, having a dialogue with Jesus over in John chapter 6, verses 68 through 69. And when Jesus was talking here again at disciples, a lot of people following. There were people following him, and he began to minister to them. Jesus began to talk to them. He began to tell them, hey, you know, hey, you're going to end up, in order to follow me and become my disciple, you got to, hey, take of my blood and take of my body, which were representing it, okay? He didn't literally mean his body and his blood, but they were representative of his word, okay, and believing in him. That was it. But they didn't understand that because he was talking in terms, again, that were hard words, all right? And so, indeed, people started turning away. They said, that's hard words. It's hard to understand what he's saying. So they start falling by the wayside. They wouldn't do like I've just acknowledged you. Stay with me. Let's study this thing through, okay? They didn't wait around. They didn't wait around for Jesus to explain further. They just say, that's a hard saying. Who can do it? Who can understand that? So many of them began to fall by the wayside. This great crowd that was there began to dissipate and fall away, all right? And oh, do I need to say that again? I'll say it again. They said this is hard, and who can understand it? And I'm saying to you, that's why Dr. Wilder is here. That's why Dr. Wilder comes. That's why Dr. Wilder takes the time to walk through the scriptures to help you understand. And if you stay with me, you're going to have greater understanding in an hour. Okay, when I go off the air, you're going to say, oh, now I understand. Oh, now I got to understand. I can relate this to that. Oh, my God. And I can still understand that God is love, okay? His character, he does love. Because his word said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So how is it now he's turning around talking about hate mom and hate dad and hate lining up? So I ask you to hang around and let's get understanding. But those particular disciples didn't hang around. They just started going away, and they left without getting understanding of what Jesus was saying. And so then Jesus looks around, and he sees them going. The crowd is diminishing, and he looks around, and he looks at Peter. And he said, now, are you going to leave me too? Those that were remaining, are you y'all going to leave me too? But Peter, being Peter, he responded to Jesus' question. And he said to him, he says, to whom shall we go? I love that. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what I'm hoping to help you do today. One of the things, come on, get to the point that you know and you believe. You know that your God, hey, your God is about reconciling. Your God is about forgiveness. Your God is about healing. Your God is about helping us to go forward, to get loose from chains and shackles that held us in the past, to get free from abandonment issues, to get free from all those things that would hold us up and rob us of joy. Hey, that you get to know that. And anytime you hear the word, hear a word, hear somebody talk contrary, then you're strong enough to say, wait a minute, let's talk some more about that. Give me further understanding of what you mean and why you're saying what you're saying. If it's contradictory of the character of your God, the character of your Savior, the character of that one that you come to believe in. Woo! My God, my God. Therefore, as I said, we search a little more. We find that Jesus often used heavy and hard words to get the listeners and to get his point across. I'll repeat it, okay? We find that Jesus often used heavy and hard words to get the attention of the listeners and to get his point across. So in other words, here we are. Hate is a hard word. It is a strong word, but it is one that Jesus was using. But we've learned now through this dialogue today that we couldn't take it literally, you know, on the surface. All right. So sometimes he talked in forms of parables. In other words, he used different ways to get his point across. And they are stories that communicate that demonstrate a spiritual principle by way of using common subjects, common things that go on around people. That's a parable. Okay, and in fact, they make up about a third of Jesus' recorded teachings. If we look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find that he used parables all the time, and they were hard. Yeah, they were hard to understand, but he used them to bring forth a principle, okay, telling stories about something that people were accustomed to that they understood to bring forth a spiritual principle. So this wasn't new. The point is the language he used in our text today is called hyperbole. Excuse me, hyperbole, all right, which is an exaggerated statement or claims not meant to be taken literally. Then all along, this was not meant to be taken literally. It's what's called an hyperbole. It's an exaggerated statement, okay, that wasn't meant to be taken literally, but it was meant to search out and do what we just did. I just helped you. I helped you do it. Oh, yes, I helped you. You can teach somebody else this text now, okay? Here he presented two scenarios. One was on the cost of discipleship, all right? The cost of following him. The cost of making up your mind, hopefully, that I'm going to become a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to study his word. I'm going to follow his teaching. I'm not going to mix and match. I am sold out to follow the teaching of Jesus, his commands, his word. I am sold out, all right? So he talked about that, and that was one part that he talked about. And number two, he talked about the need to give up. In other words, he was saying he was to get primary allegiance in the life, in the life of anyone that would follow him. I stumble over that. Let me say it again. In other words, the teaching was the point here that he was getting across, all right? He used these exaggerated words, exaggerated statements to bring out the fact that he is to get primary place in our lives. He is to be number one. Our loyalty is to be to him. We can't have distraction. We can't put him off and delay him that we can go first and do this. Let me go to college first, and then I'll come back and serve the Lord. Let me go on and find me a husband, and then after I get married, I'll serve the Lord. No, all right? He's saying that he wants to be primary in our lives. He wants to be number one. He wants to have primary allegiance, number one, top shelf, all loyalty to him, all right? He made no false promises of there being no trouble, no problems, all right, because he talked about taking our own cross, right? Bear your cross, okay? So he didn't make any of those promises. I need to make sure I put that in there because Jesus didn't make any of that. He doesn't make those promises. But what he does promise is to be with us in times of trouble, to be with us in the bad times as well as the good times, all right? And as a result of his being with us, then these things will be lighter and more tolerable. The same things you were experiencing before becoming a believer, before selling out, before deciding to be a follower of Jesus, we will experience them. But we will never experience them in the same manner that we experienced them before, because now we have Jesus. Now we are yoked up with Jesus from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, all right? Now we've decided to come to him. We've decided, taking on his teaching, and that those verses say, come learn of him. Actually says, come learn from me. And Jesus was saying, all right? So as we come learn from him and learn of him, we find that we can go through situations, the same ones we were going through before, but we learn to go through them differently because now we take on the teaching of Christ of how to do them. Yeah, people still going to talk about us. People still walk away from us. People still say hard things to us like I hate you. And they'll use those terms and they'll mean them, okay? And where before they would totally destroy us, but now with Jesus, learning of Jesus and learning the ways of Jesus, learning to take on the ways of Jesus, take on the mind of Christ, then those things won't affect us like they used to. Ooh, that's exciting. false promises, as some people teach and some people still preach. No, I am not saying that all of life is going to be hunky-dory, but okay, it's going to be better to share it with somebody, the right somebody that you get hooked up with, okay? Now listen, if Jesus gets first place in our lives, then family and all will receive the best from us. They won't receive us swearing at them and hating them and doing all those things because, hey, we have the love of Christ. They will not come up short or lacking in any manner. You know, those of you say, I can't follow Jesus. I can't follow his word. I can't do what the scripture says because then this is going to happen. And then I won't have that relationship. This one won't like me. I'll lose my friendship. I'll lose my husband. I'll lose my wife. No, okay? It might cause some havoc initially. But, hey, just keep trusting the Lord and keep praying, all right? And then he's going to give us peace through it, and he's going to help us through it. I'm not telling you how it's going to be done. I've learned not to try to tell God how to do it. I just make my request and thank him for it, okay? They will not be neglected. In fact, all aspects of our lives will be better. That's a promise. It will be better. Not saying, hey, going to be perfect, and not saying that, hey, it won't be bad sometimes because sometimes we accept Christ and we make up our mind to follow him. It looks like everything starts going negative, but God makes it up. And then that just seems, sometimes it is. We get hit from here and hit from there, all right? Because that all comes to try to deter us. It all comes to try to pull us back into the old way, hey, which wasn't productive in the first place, all right? But his whole idea is to throw up our hands and say, this is too hard, just like his other disciples. This is too hard. I can't understand this. I can't follow through. But I can tell you, if you manage to press your way through, keep reminding yourself you're not alone. Keep saying, God, I know you're with me. God, I know you're going to help me. God, I know you're going to wake away. And I know that this thing is going to come to an end eventually. You know, just keep making those statements and keep pressing, keep praying, keep praising. Hey, we'll come through. You're going to come through. And guess what? Whatever the enemy steals from you, whatever he takes from you, the Bible says he got to return it 7 ways. So if you manage to press your way on through, come up with a greater blessing. Yes, yes, yes. But it's not saying that you're not going to have a hardship along the way. The promise is that you're going to come through and you're going to be blessed. All right? So let me just come to the end here. There are things that we are to genuinely hate. Yeah. Not mom and not dad, not sisters and brothers, and not even our own selves, all right? But there are some that the word of God tells us that we are to genuinely hate. In other words, we want no parts of them. We want to get rid of them. We don't want to be associated with them. That's what it means, opposite of love, that we're not to fall in love with something. No, we're not to put them as priority in our lives. No. So in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, you know, he names a number of things that God himself, yes, hates. God himself, all right? And, I mean, they go on the haughty eyes and lying tongues and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who spews out lies, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Hey, you need to sit down and study those. Make sure that you're not in there, that that's not you, because it's so truly God hates those things, and we don't want anything that bothers God to be upon us, right? No, we want our ways to please him, because he says when our ways please him, hey, he's going to bless us. Yes, yes, yes. So, and then the command to us, all right, about genuine hate is that, comes from Psalms 97, first of all, in 10 says, you who love the Lord, hey, you will hate evil. If we love the Lord, if we've decided to please us, oh, we've accepted Christ in our lives, become believers, born again believers, we're going to hate evil. Because why? The love of Christ abides on the inside. When you said, Lord, Lord, and you said, God, come, Lord Jesus, come and take your abode within me. Come take charge of my life. I believe you died for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. I want you to be Lord of my life. The Bible says that his spirit comes to take his abode within us, and that is love. So love, love abides within. And then, guess what? And Proverbs 8 and 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Yeah, the fear of the Lord. And then Amos 5 says, hate evil and love good. And then in Romans 12 and 9, he says, cling to what is good. So this lesson today coming from, oh, my God, I didn't read my support scripture, which I think just brings it all. Let me quickly read that before I say sign off. Matthew 10, verses, what did I say? 37 through 38. All right? Matthew 10, 37. All right? Well, I guess I'm read that 30. Okay. He who loves father or mother more than me is not, I had to straighten up my glasses. He who loves father or mother that more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds, what did I say? 10 through 38, right? So, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Huh. I think that summarizes it very well, does it not? I've given you support in scriptures, and my topic today was cost of discipleship. And yes, Jesus did speak hard words. And then what we got from this lesson is that, hey, we're not to take it all, what we read initially, not always take it literally, and not pick it up and run with it, especially when we're thinking, oh, this validates what I was doing and what I wanted to do anyway. Let's search the scriptures. He says, search them, okay? Discover. Hey, make sure we understand what it was. You got that today, and you got better understanding of this word of today, this text, and know that, yes, Jesus spoke some hard words. And the purpose of him speaking hard words was to get our attention, was to make us study, to get our attention so we would listen and that we would learn, all right? So there are times that hard words are needed. Jesus demonstrated that. So I thank you so much for being with me today. I pray that something that I came on to do, that you got it, all right, and that you have been truly blessed and you have food to just go on through the rest of your day and through the rest of the week until we come together again on next Monday. The Lord say the same, that I'll be in this spot talking to you on next week. Notice what I said, the Lord say the same, all right? So until then, thank you so very much for being with me. And once again, this has been the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show with Dr. Annie B. Wilder. Then come on, email me, communicate with me, send me your prayer request, whatever. Send it to me by email, drannibwilder@gmail.com. DRANNIE, the letter B, WILDER @gmail.com. For the new listeners today, let me say it one more time. Email DRANNIE, the letter B, WILDER @gmail.com. I will respond. And until then, thank you again, and blessings.